morning, everyone. This is our wonderful dear sister, Maria. Give it up for her. And his family to develop them in Christ-like maturity and equip them for ministry in the church and life mission in the world. In order to magnify God's name. So let's honor this beautiful widow as she's going to share this story of what God is doing.
I had a friend I met just before the virus, and she was from Peru. She's been here for 20 years, though. And it was a God thing how I met Emma. And she asked me just before the virus if I would share with her with some people in Peru on Zoom, because her family and friends were very fearful of everything that was going on. So I said, sure. So we started sharing on a Thursday night, sharing the gospel, and right off, many people on Zoom, about 10, came to Christ. Started 3 years ago, and since that time, I have been discipling every Thursday night these people. So last year, we went to Peru to meet some of these people on Zoom, and so it was exciting for me. We connected with the pastor there, who was very much like this church. And he welcomed us, and it was an incredible time last year. So this year we went back, just to stay in one particular area, Huancayo, Peru, and that's where my friend Emma is from. And she is the interpreter, and a very good one. So my heart is an evangelist, and my heart is to share the gospel, because every person we make eye contact with matters to God. And many people today are living regular lives, whether here or in Peru. But I know that I was a little apprehensive about going. It's a very long trip, and I don't like plane rides, but my husband kept, not that I didn't want to go, it was just the plane ride. He said, you know you'll feel better when you come back. And he's my cheerleader. So sure enough, the pastor that we know there, he had different things outlined for us to do, and visit schools and speak at a church. It all started with when we were in Lima. A friend of ours said she has family and friends that are going through health issues, and we were only going to be in Lima that morning. She said, could they come to your hotel room, and perhaps Lenore could speak with them. And so they were very apprehensive about God all this time, she told us. So we expected to, but that day I opened my hotel room, and six of them came in the door. Well, I was able to share the gospel with them, and I want to tell you, God started right there, so all six of them came to Christ. So I think that was something that I didn't know what, but we went further into our trip to Huancayo, and we were invited to a school where this is beautiful, a woman there connected with this church, they train husbands and wives how to be good parents. And she said, I only have 15 minutes to speak. And they were all sat around, there was 25 at one point. And I began to share the love of my life, which is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit took over from there. And at the end, I asked if anybody, I have a little card with Jesus knocking on the door of their heart. And I pass it around. And right then and there, a heavy hand was raised. Father, yeah. Raising your hands.
So we've been in the middle of a teaching. Before we do, just close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes for a moment.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
More. Let that be the cry of your heart. Let it be the cry of your heart.
I love Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
I'll say it one more time. This is for you to the Lord.
I love Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Lord, I love you more than anything. Lord, I love you more than anything. Lord, I love you so much more, so much more, so much more.
Someone who is near you, just look at them and say, I love the Lord so much. It's all because he loved me first.
All because he loved me first.
That's the deal. We've been in for a couple weeks this teaching on learning how to hear God's voice. And I just want to give you a little bit on it. We're going to unpack it more. If you guys really can, it would be great to be here on Wednesday night. We try to unpack this stuff. It's really, really good. But of late, starting this past Wednesday, we actually went out the street and did some real cool stuff. Just praying over the cars as they pass by. And praying over people as they walk by. There was this wonderful young man that we met. His name was Zion, 17 years old. And so some of us in the group heard God saying things and spoke life over the young man. And then somebody else heard about the kind of heart that he had, tenderness, and God unlocked some things. And it's just nothing like seeing the grace of God. This young man rededicated his life to Jesus, 17-year-old Zion. It's just beautiful. But for me, it was beautiful to watch others beyond me hear God's voice and begin to talk. And as I say all the time, we represent Jesus well, not weird. And it wasn't weird. It was really cool. So if you're free on Wednesday nights, come out. We're gonna do it again this Wednesday, weather permitting. We had some great weather this past Wednesday. And so from 6:30, I don't know, starting at 6:30, we'll see what happens. And if the weather is a little crazy, then we'll be inside unpacking what we're talking about, learning how to hear the voice of God. And I will tell you, hearing God's voice is more than just you know that you know that you know. You should be able to describe, and I want to take you on a slow journey. I was sharing with the group this morning that meets at 9:15 for snacks, and then we get into it at 9:30, that my teaching style, this is just me, everybody's got their own style. Mine, personally, is very slow and deliberate. I want to lay foundation more and more and more so that it gets in you, because the goal is for you to get it to where you can teach it. And you don't have to teach it like me. You know, I'm me. God created me a particular way. But he created you a particular way, and you're just as valuable. And so if you can get this word in your heart, the people, the spheres that you get around, God will use you. You know, I was talking to a beautiful sister this morning about, just that God has allowed her to be a certified mental health coach. And she loves bringing light to people. And she's not going to do it my way, she's going to do it her way. And she's got the education, but she's also got her wire, her personality. And God is so good that he doesn't just identify each hair that's on your head. He also identifies who you are, how you're created, how you're wired, how you receive and deliver, and it's all valuable. Remember, the culture of heaven says that God is good. Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
Nothing is impossible. Say, nothing is impossible. This is all in the culture of heaven. What happens in heaven? The cross of Jesus fixed everything. Say that. Say, the cross of Jesus fixed everything. And another piece that describes the atmosphere in the culture of heaven is that everyone is significant. Everybody say that. Say, everyone is
significant.
And so we have to live like that, first among each other, and then everyone that he sends us to. I met a young man, wasn't the first time, but I saw him again this morning. His name is Jeremy. And man, the grace of God is just on this young man's life. I love his heart. It's just, we've got to get to a place where we realize the significance of everyone. Look at somebody and say, you are so significant.
You are so significant.
To God and to me. We've got to get to that place because God wants me to use you in that. And so we've been, we're trying to get to the point where we learn how to hear the voice of God. Because God wants to flow through you to touch other lives. And he can do it all kinds of ways. Whatever your vocation is, whatever sphere you're involved in, whether you're in hospital, healthcare, or education, you might be in government, you might be in media, you might work with family, marriages or children, wherever it is. You might be in business. God cares about the business owners. God cares about the CEO. He cares about the billionaire. He doesn't just care about the poor financially or has to do with resources. He cares about the poor in spirit. So how does he get to them? Well, he's got people who are in those spheres to do it. And it's important for us to say, as Bill and Lenore said, yes. As our beautiful sister that has, her doctorate in mental health. Yes. Just looking for those. A few weeks ago we baptized Roman James. Roman James, 16 years old, said yes. I'm excited about all that God is doing through people. So I'm taking my time to teach you how to hear God's voice so that you don't just know that you know that you know, but that when he says something to you, you're able through practice to say, I think God is saying something. And then, like Fallon a while ago saw this man sitting in a coffee shop. She went and spoke life over him, not even realizing that the guy had lost his wife, and even a professed atheist, yet God was able to get in. Do you know that God can get to those who profess not to believe in God? So I'm gonna help you in that. And that's gonna help our world. Jesus said, God so loved the world. He's got the church, but he loves the world. It's not that he doesn't love the church. He already has us. He loves us. He already has us. And I've got three sons. Pam and I do, but I'm always collecting people. Every chance I get, I'm collecting. Why? Because that's what God does. I have his DNA. You guys know that you have the DNA of God.
Yes.
I found something that was cool the other day. Pam and I were talking about my blood type. And most of the time you have to match in blood types. But she says, honey, you know, you have the type of blood that anybody can receive your blood. And I got excited right away. I said, you mean like Jesus? Like Jesus' blood? And our hearts should be like that. Our hearts should be open to everybody. I mean, did you hear Lenora fill up with emotion and tears when she talked about those who didn't even want Jesus, didn't really was pushed back there, but they came and they were open to the gospel? Over 100 giving their lives to Jesus? Are you serious? Come on, let's give God praise. But it doesn't happen if she doesn't get on that plane. Right? And it doesn't happen if Bill doesn't encourage and they don't set aside resources and prayer and team. And they're not special beyond you. They just said yes. Many are called, the few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are the ones that say yes.
Yes.
They're the ones that show up. So I want all of you to show up. But when you show up, you need to be equipped. You need to know how to hear the voice of God. So before I do anything in terms of explaining, I'm trying to keep it short, and I want you to take notes. If you can take some notes, take some notes. Take out your phone, get to the notes section of either your Android or your iPhone, or if you have pen and paper, or like one teenager told me, look, that's Terry, and showed me her arm. She said, when you were talking today, I didn't have any better paper, so I just wrote it all on my arm. I was like, let's go, Lana. Let's go. Lana's 12 years old, man. She was so pumped. All right, so I'm gonna read some scripture. I'm gonna read quite a bit of scripture, and then we're going to, then I'll talk just for a little bit, because the main thing I want you to do is I want you to go home and practice. I want you to go home, read it again. Go home, read it again. So I'll go through all of this, and one of the verses I give you will be titled or will be highlighted as a priority verse. Everybody say priority verse.
Priority.
One of the verses I give you is going to be a priority verse, and you just write that right next to it. And so I'm going to read St. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to go relatively quickly, so I want you guys just to stay with me. I'm not about, some of you haven't figured me out yet, everything for me is not all about head knowledge. I want you to receive things in your heart. And so I flow a lot like that. So I want you to catch it, and then you spend some time meditating on it, and then you're going to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you going to say to me about either this verse, or what are you going to say to me about this point that Pastor Terry made? What do you want to say to me? And he says, to more that has, more will be given. And I think I'm going to end up reading a passage of scripture in the book of Mark that talks about take heed how you hear. I want you guys to hear today. Don't let the enemy distract you. We're going to have a concentrated amount of time, and then we're going to end our service. And then the real work is going to happen when you leave. When you leave, ask for more, and he'll give you more than you got in here. Really, this is just a tease. Like Jesus told the parable in the book of Mark, the 4th chapter. And then the disciples came back and said, what were you really saying? And then he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries. In other words, they're things that you don't catch at first glance. So put your hand on your chest. Bow your heads. Say these words. Say, Father, help me to hear. Holy Spirit, help me not to get distracted. I give my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, my imagination, ultimately my will, over to you. I want to grow like Jesus today. Help me. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at John 5. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Look at verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Go to St. John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. St. John chapter 12, 49 and 50. You guys can write that down in your notes. St. John 12, 49 and 50. And now let's look at it. Jesus talking again. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Let's go to St. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15. Jesus talking again. But this time, he's talking about what's going to happen. Before, he was talking about what he does and how he does it. I'm just only listening to the Father and all that. But here, he's actually talking about how he does it, and he sets the guys up for what's going to happen when he leaves the planet. So he says, there's so much I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. You can't handle it now. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Did you see the pattern there? The pattern is really talking about, he's talking about how Jesus gets his intel. And we're talking about learning how to hear God's voice. And we've given you the reasons. Maybe you're in Peru, maybe you're in Brazil, maybe you're in Florida, maybe you're in Burlington, maybe you're in Hamilton, you know, maybe you're in Cherry Hill, maybe you're in a school, maybe you're in a hospital, maybe you see somebody in the street, maybe you're in Wawa. Wherever you are, God says, I want to talk to you, and Jesus says, when it is time, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see him do. So that means that we've got to learn how to hear like Jesus is hearing. We got to learn how to see like Jesus is seeing. Because at that point, we become equipped to bring his kingdom here. Isn't that right? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just like it is in that culture of heaven. And we know that in the culture of heaven, God is good. Nothing's impossible. The cross fixed everything, and everyone matters to God. Amen. And let me say this parenthetically, that everyone mattering to God doesn't mean that everything somebody does is acceptable to God. Amen. You guys get that? Because we can be living in an, somebody can be living in an unholy state. They can be going against God's plans, God's regulations, God's heart. And we can say, oh, you matter to God, which means that I accept everything you're doing. No, God is God. And he's the standard. But his delivery is love. He says, I love you. And if you can receive my love, then when you love me back, you're going to love me the way I'm wired. Amen. That's what God says. And sometimes we try and get people straight. We try and get them, like there's this detergent or this agent that you spray on clothes that have a hard stain. It's a shout. I think you shout it out. Spray and wash, you know. You guys ever use that? Am I crazy?
Yes.
Okay, y'all look good. I mean, come on. And so we put it on there before we wash. Unfortunately, that's how we do with people. We try and give them a pre-wash. And then we say, okay, you're worthy to accept Jesus. No. No. Like the girl from China, when I was on University of Pitt's campus, and this girl accepted Jesus, and me and Pam and a few others, we took her into the church. She lived in the dorm right next door. She took her into the church and baptized her. And her words, after she came up out of the water, makes me cry every time, man. I control this thing. She came up out of the water, and she says, how many times do I have to go down and come up for my sins to be washed away? And man, we got so pumped. We're like, oh, guess what? Instant sins washed away. And then you learn how to hear God. You learn. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You renew your mind so that you're on the same wavelength as when the Holy Spirit is speaking. The natural mind can't understand the things of God. But for the ones who are learning how to hear his voice, they have been born again so that now their DNA looks like his DNA. I'm a loved son born of a loved father. And my spirit looks just like Jesus. Me, my spirit and Jesus' spirit, exactly the same. And that's for anyone who's been born again. Spirit looks just like. It's just that Jesus has a whole lot more growth and development. Remember when my son Ryan, when he was born, he looks just like me. Still to this day, he looks just like me. And I'm holding this little guy. And I remember I was 27. I first started preaching. And I, a couple of years, I was preaching a message. And I said, come here, Ryan. Ryan is the little guy. And I held him up, and I'm holding him. I said, you see me and Ryan? I said, the only difference is a whole lot more growth and development in me than him. And I use that to point out the picture that your spirit looks just like Father God. The only difference between you and Jesus is just a whole lot more growth and development. But as he is, so are we in the world. And that's why when I say to people, I'm going to say what Jesus said to Philip. Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father, and that'll be good enough. He said, Philip, have I been around you all this time? And you're still asking that question? He said, Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. And so I got used to saying the same thing.
Come on.
So now everywhere I go, like, let me show you what the Father looks like. And it's not my hairstyle or my clothes or my facial, my complexion or any of that. It is the character of the fruit of the Spirit of God coming out of my life. And that is the love of God. That's why he said, they're going to know that you're Christians. Say it loud. By
virtue.
Our love. Our love. They're going to know you're a Christian by your love. And love is that dominant. It's where all the other fruits come from. And humility is the soil, as Andrew Murray says in his book, Humility. Humility is the soil. Because without the soil of saying, I submit, I come under your mission, then none of that fruit will be appetizing to you. You know, you'll resist it. He'll tell you to love and you'll want to hate. He'll tell you to forgive and you want to be bitter. He'll tell you to honor and you'll want to be jealous. He'll tell you to say wonderful things and you'll want to accuse. So it's important for us in humility to say, Lord, I want your fruit to come out of me. Your fruit. And the key to bearing fruit is yielding, and that's humility. So this whole picture is Jesus showing us how to hear the Father, know what he sounds like, see, being able to see beyond the natural realm. Now, I'm not talking about being spooky. Remember, well, not weird. I'm not talking about being spooky. You're walking down the street, you're like,
why would anybody want to be around that?
But, like the young man that walked by the street the other day, and I didn't know it, Vandella walked up to him and says, you know, God wants to put a hedge of protection around you. And just all by hearing and seeing. And I wasn't in there with her with what the Holy Spirit was showing her. He was talking to her, but I stayed close enough to be able to confirm, yeah, man, that sounds right. Let's see where this is going. And so she said, God wants to place a hedge of protection around you. What she didn't know was what the young man said right after that. He said, I used to go to church, but I stopped when my son, when my cousin was killed. So now that picture that God had placed in Vandella to save that thing made sense. And at that, he stayed. He stayed. And it wasn't long after that that he runs into Dino, and Dino says to him, you know, I see a tenderness in your heart, and God wants to open that thing back up. Now, you notice what they didn't say? Is that, you know, you need to get in church. You need to get yourself right with God. But they heard, and they heard right. He said that, the guy's eyes filled up with tears. He's wide open. So Pastor, how did they know what to say? That stuff comes with practice. We've got to grow in certain things. And so, and again, this isn't the spooky side of it. This is just letting you know, what was the ultimate? That God wanted to highlight Dino? No. Did God want to highlight Vandella? No. No. God wanted to get to Zion.
Amen.
The fact that he saw him and he loves him.
Come on.
He wants him. And look, we're all, other than Haley, who was 17, we're all older than this young man. And for some, you know, decades older. Why would he want to stay and hug each of us? Why would he want to talk to any of us? There was something that was there. It's just like the woman at the well. It's just like the woman they bought and threw down and said, Jesus, the law says we should stone her. We called her the act of adultery. When everybody else left, why is this girl still here? Because there was something on and in Jesus representing, I care about you. And we've got a world full of people that are trying all different kinds of things to get satisfied when only Jesus can satisfy.
Amen.
And God wants to flow through us to reach them. That's why we gotta learn how to hear his voice. And it's for whoever you might run into. Maybe it's not a sign. Maybe it's somebody that's in a hospital. Or somebody that's a CEO. Or maybe it's just your neighbor, or somebody lost a loved one, or somebody who's in prison. You know, maybe it was somebody who was captured. You know, Pastor Pam did a teaching once on the captive and the prisoner. God cares about both of them. Sometimes we think God just cares about the captive, those who have been captured. No, God cares about the ones who were wronged, and God cares about the one who did the crime. I'm not the Apostle Paul. So let's try and wrap all this up. Look at St. John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Look what it says. St. John chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 5. Now, I want you to write these down because it's going to bring a level, it's going to come together as you meditate on it, as you ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me about this? What do you want to say to me about this? I'll start reading. It's in the New Living Translation, St. John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. It says, after he has gathered his own flock, talking about the shepherd, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him, talking about the sheep, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Do you know what the voice of the Lord sounds like? And so I was doing something years ago, and I'll give you part of my what came out of it. And I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to me concerning demonic thoughts versus the voice of the Holy Spirit? It's a question that I asked the Lord. And he says, the response was, Terry, demons will try you. And you can write this down. You can write this down if you want. Demons will try you, and whatever you don't get, we're going to go over it. We'll have some point of it. We'll go over it. Demons will try you. They will attempt to see what your response will be. They will come to you with their weird, with their wicked characteristics. The characteristics are accusing, slandering, condemning, pushy, lying. They will urge you towards despair and push you in the direction of giving up. This is how you know when spiritual wickedness is there on any level. They're going to try and bring hopelessness, despair, and they're going to try and have you give up. That's why in our society, there's so much in the area of suicide. Because demonic oppression and depression are pushing, and it's not God talking. I'll tell you the other side in a moment. Their motives are to kill, steal, and destroy you. Let's go on the other side. Stand up against them, reject them, with the boldness that comes from me and my spirit. Look at this. My Holy Spirit is comforting, encouraging, gentle, truthful, and lovingly convincing. I read that one more time. My Holy Spirit is comforting, encouraging, gentle, truthful, and lovingly convincing. Listen to this. Remember, I read that passage in John. It says, the words from the Father will always lead to eternal life. It took me years to realize that he wasn't talking about life that lasts forever. Eternal life. Oh, everybody's going to live forever. Everybody is going to live forever. And you choose, when you choose Jesus, where you live forever. But that eternal life is not just talking about living forever. It's talking about life that is eternally life. It's talking about, the Greek word calls it Zoe. It is the Zoe life of God. It's the very life of God. And the Holy Spirit brings eternal life, the life of God. That's why whenever I'm praying, I'll have some difficulty sometimes, and I'll pray, Father, I thank you that your spirit is in me. Your life, this is sometimes how I, in declaration, I have conversations with God. I thank you that your spirit is in me, and I thank you that your spirit is life. And your spirit is not just life, but it is light. And so the energy I need, but also the vision and the wisdom that I need, it's here, Lord, because you are here and it's in me. So you put all that light in there that darkness can't stay. You put all that light in there that depression can't stay. And the spirit of depression does try, has tried from time to time, to try and jump on me. There's a big problem. There's a big situation. And it tries to say, oh, man, you can do that. Oh, man, this is, you might as well just give up. And then while it may not be to the point of suicide or anything like that, I reject every spirit of depression of any form. I don't want any of it getting in there. I need life and more life and the life of God and the light of God coming up out of me. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. That's the priority verse. I told you I was going to give you a verse, put priority next to it. This is the priority verse. I live by this verse. Because I have to be able to hear God's voice all the time. And so if I don't guard my heart, I'll get confused. Fear, guilt, shame, rejection, hopelessness, it'll all try and get in there. And it'll twist. You know it's twisted, right? You know that furniture that's twisted is called what?
Wicker.
It's twisted. It's wicked. And so I don't have time to let things just get in my ears. There's certain things I can't hear. There's certain things I can't read.
Right? Nope.
I don't just let anybody speak into me. I don't just let anybody get it. That doesn't mean I'm mean. I don't say, don't talk to me. I just, and they can be talking, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, thank you for guarding my ears. Thank you for guarding my heart. Thank you for guarding my brain. He says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it are the forces of life, the issues of life, the wellspring of life. So I gotta guard it. Pastor, how'd you get like that? I spend time hearing the Father's voice. And the Father's voice is rooted in what the Father has said. And I'm not reading what the Father said. We're talking this morning about just worshiping the Bible. I'm not worshiping the Bible. I'm worshiping the one who wrote the scripture, because he is identifying and describing how he is. And I need to know how he is, because there's another force that will try and tell me something off. And I can't follow that one. I got to know how he is. I got to know how he is. The enemy's trying to steal from me. He's trying to kill me. He's trying to destroy me. And he's not just trying to kill me, steal from me, and destroy me. He's trying to destroy my marriage and my children and my grandchildren and the purpose that God has for me. So I got to guard my heart. I don't let any of that stuff get in. I don't have time for it. Sometimes people are talking to me and they miss the target. They're talking to me and they're sharing some things, you know, such and such, you know, and I need to know how to get some help. And next thing you know, they get into gossip and slander. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, they're missing the target.
Come on.
Help them redirect. Help them. Help them redirect. And guard yourself so that you don't get caught up in that. Do I hear God's voice? I close with this. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I ask you that question. Can you say that? Now, see, I just say a whole lot of stuff throughout the day. I mean, sometimes I... Key word is open. Jesus said, I don't. And I'm not talking about going around and judging other people. I'm talking really just for yourself, so God, and an effort to make sure hear your voice. I'm going to slow down. David put it like this in Psalm. He said, I put a guard over my mouth. I put a guard over my mouth so that I don't say what he's not telling me to say. And some people say, well, you know, I only speak the word. I only speak the word. I only speak the word. Speak the word. Yeah, but you can be speaking the word, and then you can have attitude in your heart. You can have bitterness in your heart speaking the word. And so I'm always turning, man. All day long. Trying to help you keep my mind. And I have a lot of fun. I walking around scared, a tightrope over hell. You know, I am enjoying life. That's with the Father. And as Isaac, Deacon Isaac said earlier in our session downstairs, I walk in such a way where I can hear the strategy of heaven for me and through me. Pastor, you sound like you're a perfect Christian. Absolutely not. Just like you, I'm learning how to hear his voice better. That's why I stay in a state of repentance all the time. All the time. And repentance isn't this guilt. It's like, oh, I said no. Repentance just means, oh, Lord, you're over here. I want to stay close to you. I'm going to try this thing, Lord. I think I'm hearing you right. And so I'm walking. And my son Andrew and I were talking last night. He said, Dad, I've gotten to a place where around God I'm tiptoeing. I'm not tiptoeing in fear. I'm just walking slow. I don't want to get ahead of it.
Amen.
I want to get ahead of it. And I was laying in the bed, and Andrew's at my door. It's funny, he's like, Dad, this seems so familiar, because when our kids were little, they would all sit on the floor against the wall, and I'd lay in the bed, and I'd just talk to them. Here they are, all living for the Father, serving the Lord. Our youngest is Jordan right there. Stand up for a minute, Jordan, so you can see who we are. That's my guy. He was born today. His birthday is the day before mine. September 21st, mine is September 22nd. That's my guy. But I keep my heart, and I say this being very transparent with you. Keep your heart. And nothing to do with titles, gifts, resources, none of that. Keep your heart. If you're rich, you gotta keep your heart. If you don't have a lot, you gotta keep your heart. If you have great education, you gotta keep your heart. If you don't have a lot of education, you gotta keep your heart. It's for everybody, and God will love everybody and use everybody and make himself known to everybody, because that's what he is and that's who he is.
Yeah.
Our responsibility is to love him.
Amen.
It's to turn to him. So we can always enjoy that time of refreshing, but also so he can lead us. He can lead us. He says, ah. He says, I'll lead you in the way that you should go. He said, I'll guide you with my eye. Man, it is nothing like a relationship with Jesus. It's nothing. And I'm weeping today the same time and the same way I was weeping when I was 20 years old. Man. And it just gets better and better and better. And so I want to challenge you. Love hearing the voice of God. He will always bring life. And the last one is, he always has a redeeming answer for every problem. He always has a redeeming answer for every problem. There's always a way out. There's always hope. You know what that definition of hope is. If you don't know what the definition of hope is, Karen, raise your hand, Karen. Karen said, well, when Wednesday night, hope is confident expectation of God's goodness coming. God's goodness coming. It's hope. The Holy Spirit will always have a redeeming answer to every problem. This is how you know you're hearing God's voice. That pushy stuff, that accusing stuff, that edgy stuff, that forceful stuff, that fearful stuff, that anger and jealousy stuff, that condemning stuff, that hopeless stuff, God's not here, give up, that's not him. There's always hope. He's always got a plan. is always redeeming. That's why Jesus is our great redeemer. He's a redeemer. Nicole C. Mullen, back in the early 2000s, wrote the song, "I Know That My Redeemer Is." Don't limit him just to what happened on Good Friday. Go to the empty tomb and see that he lives. He lives, man, he lives. He lives. And whatever dark situation you might be in this morning, he lives.
Amen.
He's got eternal life for you. And it's not just life that lasts forever. So if it's a relationship issue, if it's a financial issue, it could be a physical issue, it could be temptation, it could be confusion, whatever it is, he lives.
Amen.
He lives. Lives. So God lives where you are. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just being present here. Thank you. Thank you for going up and down these aisles and letting them know how you feel about them. Thank you for being on this web stream and getting into every kitchen and bedroom and nation and city. Thank you for getting into every car that this goes, Lord, and let them know that you live. Thank you that you are a loving Father and that you care. You want to be in a relationship with them. Oh, Father, thank you for the high price you paid so we can be in relationship with you. Oh, how you love us. We bless you this morning. And we freshly give ourselves to you. We fresh dedication. Fresh. If you've never accepted Jesus, then say these words, believing with your heart, "Jesus, come into my life. I want you, I need you, I receive you, I receive your love. I believe Jesus died for my sins and he was raised up from the dead. Raise me up. I want to be in relationship with you." If you did that for the first time, then you're Jesus material. Let somebody know. But if you've already been with Jesus, maybe you strayed away, or maybe you forgot your identity, he's here to let you know. I haven't changed my mind about you, daughter. I haven't changed my mind about you, son. I love you. Don't think that I'm mad at you. Don't think that I'm against you. My arms are open to receive you. And if you're willing to say, "Lord, I'm back. I come back. I give you fresh dedication, fresh devotion," he says, "I will not cast you out. I will receive you as the son and the daughter that you are." And that last category is for those of us who just been walking with the Lord and striving to be close with him daily. Just like he gives us fresh sunrise and new mercies every day, let's give him a fresh commitment today. So stand to your feet and hold your hand up high. Say, "Lord,
Lord,
I know you love me.
I know you love me.
And I just ask you to receive my love. Help me to love you better. Help me to hear your voice better. Strengthen me with might by your spirit in my spirit. I want to be in tune. I want to be in step. I want to be in rhythm with you. Help me in Jesus' name. Because I give you all of me. All of me." Now yell it out to him whatever way you want to say it, but just yell something. "God, I give it all. I give it all. I give it everything. You're mine. I'm yours.
so moving. So I'm going to ask you all to take your communion cup home. We do it in here so well.
Pastor Jamie came last week, amazing prophet.
He did such great teaching on communion. Had a great time of communion. But part of here is good, but man, we got to get better at being sensitive at home with your other Christian family members. It'll keep peace in the home. There'll be healing in the home. Hope will be in the home. Home. And so I want you to take that communion and know that life and light, healing and hope, forgiveness and grace will be created through communion, the atmosphere of your home. So if you live by yourself, call a brother or sister. Say, hey, look, let's take communion together. But if you have brothers or sisters or husband and wife, parents and children, siblings, whatever, friendships. Say, look, and schedule. Say, hey, look, this day we're going to do communion. Don't let anything get in the way of you. Put your arm around somebody, just one other person. Find one other person, put your arm around them. One other person, put your arm around them. Just one other person. Okay. And bow your heads. Say these words, Father, I thank you for my friend. I thank you for what we heard today. Use us to advance your kingdom.
We're better with you,
and we're better together.
Help us this week
to advance your kingdom. In Jesus'
name.
Now hold your hands out. The Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine. May the Lord raise his countenance and turn his countenance towards you. Every level of peace and hope, favor and grace, provision and healing, direction and wisdom to rest on you. And may you be a blessing to others. Freely you have received, freely give it out. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Put your hands together for God. Love you all so much. All I was missed. Hope you're going to see you again.
Right now, we're
going to be
Hey,
Chad. Come down real quick.